Relevance before the revolution. Of course it's necessary. I saw the post last night. Great movie. Comment about that too. Jesus, his acceptance of us, and our acceptance of him. This is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 506 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Reclaiming the Christian narrative. How's that for a title, huh? That's going to be one of the topics. One of the speakers is going to address reclaiming the Christian narrative. And probably not a more appropriate topic than this today. I mean, I am looking around me all over the place. And when you talk about Christianity, when people talk about Christianity, is this convoluted, the distorted view of Christ, of Jesus Christ, of Christian identity that comes to us from some kind of past that is only a couple hundred years old, some puritanic idea of what Christianity should be, of what somebody's idea was. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I was talking about that? I had spoken with Dr. Yvette, who had just gotten back from Germany, and she was talking about, I shared with you this idea that she had talked with people in the Methodist community who were talking about Wesley. And she said, what about Jesus? And it's the same thing that I've been sharing with you. When we talk about St. Gregory the Illuminator, when we talk about St. Nerşe Şnorhalı, the greats, or even Vartan Mamigonyan, the greats of the Armenian Church, what about Jesus? These greats were great because they pointed to Jesus. And what's happened now is all of a sudden, we're pointing elsewhere and calling that Christianity. Like, small little case. Let me share with you. This is a really pet peeve time. There is this author. Let's see. I can't even pronounce her first name. Asiyen Surmayan. She writes in one of the Armenian newspaper. And she writes about Christianity. And you know what? She writes. Yeah, she writes. Just like we do podcasting, she writes. And somebody does it. It's done. And it becomes somehow gospel. Now bear with me right now, because when I'm connecting dots here, it's all about relevance and where we're going with all of this. She writes about the season of Lent. Look at how it begins. The season of Lent is almost upon us. This is, I guess, last week. The period of 40 days of prayer and fasting before Easter. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, and not counting Sundays until Easter, completes the 40 days of Lent. The 40 days reflect the number of days that Jesus spent fasting in the wilderness after his baptism, when Satan tried to tempt him before Jesus began his earthly ministry. Where do we get all this? Okay, does not begin on Ash Wednesday. Yes, it begins on Ash Wednesday if you're part of the Western tradition, and I'm not here to split hairs. I'm not here to tell you what's right, what's wrong. But if you're going to be identifying within the Armenian church community, you got to identify it properly. And you know what? Lent is not like Ramadan, and Ramadan, certainly it has its It has its rules and regulations, one of which is that during the day they fast and then in the evening they don't fast. Well, according to this woman, she's telling you that, you know, fast every day except Sunday. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. No, there is exactly 40 days from the beginning of Lent, which was last Monday, and it ends just before Palm Sunday, and it includes all the days in there. Okay, now, if you want to come up with some other kind of schedule, that's fine, but don't pretend that it's the Lenten schedule. Along that same line, animal products. You know, people get off on this thing like, well, animal products, but we'll have fish. Well, we're going to have chicken. I'm sorry, folks. It's all animal products. It's living creatures. Now, if you decide to do Lent, eating fish, eating chicken, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to be fine. Everything is fine. Everything is okay. It's the way that you do it, right? But don't tell me that that's the rules. It's not the rules. It's what you want to do. Like the other day when at our teenage Bible study, we had a lot of young kids this time. And they were 12, 13-year-old kids. And what are you going to give up for Lent? Well, I'm going to give up video games, give up chocolate. Okay, nobody wrote in video games and chocolate or whatever it may be, Slurpees. One kid said, I'm going to give up smoking. Kind of got looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he says, yeah, I'm going to give up smoking. I said, do you smoke? He says, no, that's why I'm going to give it up. No, you can't do that either. You got to give up something, right? Anyway, nice try. Anyway, that's fine. You know, you can give up whatever you want. You can make the rules. But if you want to talk about the Armenian church rules, the church rules are give up all animal products. It's basically going into a vegan diet. Animal products. Yeah, dairy, eggs. Those are all part of the animal kingdom, right? They are the products of the animal kingdom. Now, I didn't mean to engage in a diatribe against people who are self created prophets and talking about this or that. What I am talking about is relevance. How relevant is the faith? People coming up to me and saying that we're not going to give up. I don't care what you're going to give up. It's none of my business, by the way. None of my business. It's between you and God. Have you been following the Lenten journey? Oh, I got to thank Susie. She resurrected this group of podcasts. We've had some server problems for about the past year, and it has to do with previous servers that we've had. In fact, I don't know if some of you remember. I don't know how many of you go back that far. There used to be an organization called My Church that had a virtual website server, and they served actually churches, and we were involved with them, I would say about 10, 12 years ago. A rather novel idea, actually. It was one of the early social media for particularly for churches. It came around right around the time that MySpace was around, right around the time that Facebook was launching. So it was in that early period of social media. And believe it or not, we actually, in fact, still, there are still remnants of My Church on some of our websites. Some of the small little programming tools that they offered, they're still there. So we're kind of cleaning up a lot of things. And Susie found this group, this cluster of Lenten Journeys. And they are from the first Lenten journey that we did several years ago. And she's resurrected them, and we're putting them up one at a time. So I hope you're following them. I've been getting some great, great, great response from them. And if you haven't, you're not too late. You're only 5 days into Lent. So you can do a binge today. You can go and just listen to five of them and be caught up. And each of them are about 5 to 7 minutes long. So even if you did the binge today, you're at about 35, 40 minutes, and then you caught up. Then you're caught up and you say, hey, this is pretty cool. Now I could just do one a day. Anyway, we will definitely have a link on today's show notes so you could listen to those. But here's the point of all this, okay? We've got to start reclaiming what really belongs to us. And by that, I'm not talking about Armenian Christianity. I'm using Armenian Christianity, Ormodoxy, as the ultimate, as the oldest tradition, where if you really dig deep, you're going to find what it was all about. wasn't about, you know, dietary restrictions. It was about understanding the self, about introspection, about understanding who you are, knowledge about yourself. I'm reading a book right now by one of the speakers, actually. He's going to be speaking at the Reclaim Conference, Michael Gorgon. He's an actor, a director, but he's also an author. He's written a book called What Lies Beyond the Stars, and I will put a link on today's show notes. Highly recommend it. I read a part the other day that it just kind of it hit me, and I think there's a lot of, I guarantee this is going to hit a lot of you. He's talking about this character. He says, he was searching for something, answers to certain questions he wasn't even sure how to articulate. He explored other aisles in the bookstore as well, religion, science, psychology, metaphysics, and often found ideas that would temporarily scratch his itch for understanding. I mean, there's something about that, right? We're looking for something. We're asking the basic questions of where do we come from? Where are we going? What is the purpose of my life? I mean, Rick Warren, right? What was that book that he wrote a few years ago? The Purpose-Driven Life. I haven't read it, but I could imagine from the title that that's an answer to that question. What is the purpose of it? Just last week, I finished a great book by Dan Brown called Origins. Again, the primal questions. What are those questions? And then this character in this Michael Gorgon novel, you know, he's looking for these answers. Well, guess what? Lent is that built-in time of year, sort of to give you that discipline that for 40 days you get to really examine what's been clicking in your life. And you go year to year, things change. My Lent today is different from my Lent 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The practices, the prayers, the meditations, the way I approach it, you know, and I hope it changes. I mean, that means you're evolving. It means you're adapting, you're learning. You're not just some solid rod that's just standing up there and attracting lightning bolts and rain and somehow not being affected by it. Just being a grounding tool of taking everything that's coming out there and just grounding it to the earth. No, you're adapting. You're fluid. You should be. That's not a bad thing. And so my Lenten journey is different today than it was several years ago. In fact, you're listening to the Lenten Journey that was written by, I believe, the one you're listening to now is the 2010 version. I did a couple others right after that. One was about the Divine Liturgy, completely different. One was done, it was the healing journey because I had gone through some severe, some cancer. And I used that Lenten period to look within, to see what was the inner strength that helped me through that time. So each of these journeys, each of the Lenten periods are opportunities for you to kind of evaluate based on where you are in your life journey. Yeah. The Lenten journey is about your life journey. And it adapts. It's fluid. It's okay. So with that, let's go back to the whole point of all this. It's like we have to reclaim. We have to reclaim what really belonged to us. The Christian narrative, the Christian understanding. Valentine's Day. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. That's great. It was a saint of the Christian church. Valentine was a saint of the Christian church. I know, yeah, you think he's a saint of Hallmark, right? Of See's Candy. Do you have See's Candy elsewhere in the world, or is that an American phenomena? Anyway, I know Hallmark is beyond America because it travels via the mail, right? It goes different places. But what an industry! Valentine. Well, guess what? Valentine happened to be a saint of the church who was grounded in Jesus Christ. That's where the love is. Not these fat little kids with bow and arrows that are ready to hit you in the rump with it. No. Those cute little, fat little Cupid angels, right? No. Valentine's is more than that. Valentine's is about a saint who believed in Christ, Jesus Christ, reclaiming the Christian narrative. What is Lent? It's about understanding what your Christian responsibility is. What is that Christian life? Who are you? It's more than just what you're eating, what you're putting in your mouth. It's how you're expressing yourself. It's how you are reacting to Christ, to what Christ set out to do. Now, I want to share this with you. I'm giving this to you as a prelude because there's something that Christ has said that I know a lot of people are bothered by. He says, it's that exclusivity factor. You know, I am the only way to the Father, right? People get all bent out of shape. In fact, this is what the main contention is. People, I heard a very famous Jewish rabbi the other day. He was given the question, like, what happens? I mean, like, why aren't the Jews accepting Jesus as the Messiah? And what needs to happen? That's the question. What needs to happen for you to accept someone as the Messiah? And his answer was interesting. But at the end of it, he says, our problem with Jesus as Jews is not the claim of Messiahship. The problem is his divinity. Because, you know, can't claim that he is God. And I know that a lot of people get bent out of shape about this exclusivity factor. And in the second portion of today's show, I want to share with you something that came up, something that I reflected on. It happened to do with that exclusivity factor where Jesus says, he who acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge before the Father. What does that mean? Is that something that Jesus is going to do in the future time? What is that about? Well, I have some insight on that because of personal experience. So I want to share that personal revelation with you coming up. But while we're on Valentine's, I know this is just such a fluid program, right? We just like flow. But the reason I brought up Valentine's, well, yes, yesterday happened to be Valentine's, but let's go to the original source, right? Valentine is pointing to Jesus Christ. Well, yesterday also happened to be Candlemas. If you celebrate Jesus's birthday on January 6th, 40 days later happens to be February 14th. And it happens to be the day that Jesus was presented at the temple, the presentation of our Lord. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. I shared this with you a few weeks ago when it was Groundhog's Day, right? Groundhog's Day happens to be Candlemas. If you celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th, you add 40 days, you get Groundhog's Day. If you celebrate on January 6th, you get February 14th. And it's interesting because, you know, they're both Jesus celebrations, again, usurped by some kind of more worldly adventure. Much like Christmas has become Xmas, so too Candlemas, the presentation of Jesus, has become Groundhog's Day in the West. And now in the East, St. Valentine, who is really a saint of the entire Christian church because his date is in the 4th century, is before any splits in the church. So he's a saint that's basically accepted by the entire church. And he has his sainthood is connected with Jesus Christ, as all sainthoods are. But in this case, now he's become commercialized. And people taking it and applying it to giving people lovely things. Nice little lingerie as well as flowers and candy. Taking them out on dates. Okay, that's all fine. But the basic idea of Valentine's was a point to Jesus Christ. Just as Candlemas is the presentation of Jesus Christ. And I said there's two ways of looking at it. If you remember from our discussion a few weeks ago, right? There's the presentation of the Lord, but it is also the rite of purification having to do with Saint Mary, about coming back to equilibrium. Very important that we understand that these 40-day cycles are here for us to bring ourselves back to equilibrium, credibility. So 40 days from Christmas to Candlemas is one period. From the beginning of Lent to Palm Sunday before Holy Week is another 40-day period. It's this magical number, 40, okay? 40 days. So we're in that period of Lent, Candlemas, yesterday, the presentation of the Lord. These are important for us to reflect on and to keep because they are part of the original narrative. In other words, they're not just about celebrating Jesus because I love Jesus because he's a holy man. No, it's an application to our lives today. You know what that's called, right? It's called relevance. Something is relevant in my life. You know what is irrelevant? Something that, well, something that really doesn't matter. Whether it exists or doesn't, my life continues the same way. For most people, that's what Christianity is. It doesn't matter. I mean, or the church, let's say the institution of Christianity, right? It doesn't matter whether the church is there or not. You know, it doesn't really affect me. You know, my life continues. In other words, it's irrelevant. I guess there's a lot of things like that, right, in life. There's irrelevance, degrees of relevance, right? Let's say the corner grocery store. There's 2-3 different stores in your neighborhood. This one grocery store you could deem as irrelevant. First of all, the prices are not that great. They're not that competitive. And so they are irrelevant for you, right? But they are that store is irrelevant for you. It doesn't matter whether it's there or closed. Because you have other opportunities, other places you can go. But for the workers inside that store is very relevant, right? Without that, they can't make an income. They can't feed their family. They can't take care of their needs. And so for them, there's a degree of relevance that is very high. And they need to maintain that relevance. They have to justify, let's say it that way, they have to justify that relevance to continue. That's what happens a lot of times in our church. There's some of us that are inside that we have to justify the relevance. And we're finding out that more and more it's becoming irrelevant because as a matter of society, of people, things have become more irrelevant. Think about the shooting, and that's where we'll continue after the song of the day. Think about the shooting that just took place in Florida yesterday. Once again, we are shocked. Once again, in our most sacred of sacred places where young people have an opportunity to get an education, a shooter walks in and he starts shooting up and is it 17 or 18 people were killed. And once again, the debate about gun control. Once again, people saying, no more politics, let's get down to it. But once again, people are confronted with this horror. And we're looking for answers. And let me tell you, whoever comes up with that answer becomes relevant. Right? There is relevance there. Because that's needed. Because that's a way to live. That's a basic survival issue. All right. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to come back in a little bit. We're going to be talking about something really basically fundamental to what we do here on The Next Step. Is there really a next step? In all that we've been talking about for all these years, is there really a next step? Okay. For right now, let's take a break right now and pick out a song every week. Sometimes to just get our mind relaxed. I hope you enjoy this one. Thank you. that was good, wasn't it, huh? Are you moving around? Are you bouncing around? Are you dancing? Oh, man, that was good. All right, let me give you the details on the song and then tell you why I picked it out. Some of you who are more astute will probably figure it out. But let me give you the details of the song, okay? It's called E Fuego Lento. It is off of an album called Tangos Among Friends, courtesy of our friends and our dear relatives out in Argentina, Buenos Aires. And this is a collection of tangos, which when we were in Argentina a few years back, oh, I just went crazy over this music. It's just so lovely. And I think I'm a sucker for the accordion. I think a few anniversaries back, Susan might remember, we even went out to the Hollywood Bowl where there was a group of accordionists playing tangos. Yeah, so just a sucker for accordions. Okay, so this is off of an album called Tango Among Friends. And the artists on this are Daniel Berenbaum, Rodolfo Mederos, and Hector Conselle. Okay. Now, why did I pick it out? Okay, I know. Like I said, the more astute among you. Yeah, you guessed it. Yes, the name, of course. I searched my volumes of music for Lent, and it came up with El Fuego Lento. Now, Lent, I did a Google Translate. Yes, it comes out that it means to simmer. And I hope it's simmered with you. Simmered the soul. Get it ready for what we're about to hear right now. Because when I get through with this portion of it, I hope there's some simmering going on. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes, as there always is, to the great music that we share with you. This is where I want to start off the second portion today. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. You've probably heard it and thought about it, maybe peripherally, maybe intensely. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." That is out of the New International Version. I know that some of the, what is, let's see what the King James says, "Whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Yeah, I'm more familiar with the deny term, but disown, I understand it. It comes down to the same basic idea. Now, we hear this often, and this idea that you need to witness to Jesus. Again, reclaiming the Christian narrative. What is that narrative? What Christianity are we talking about? Denying, disowning. Last week, remember last week's next step? I particularly liked last week. Last week was very special to me. It was really a great one because we talked about this entire idea of what does it mean to defend? How about living that faith? There was a lot of concepts last week, but check it out. But we always talk about, like, okay, I have to prove myself in front of the world, in front of some kind of audience. And this has been given to us by the West, especially when you remember those Christian movies. You know, they'd get thrown into the lion pit, and then somehow they'd say, okay, for Jesus, I'm willing to give up my life. And in fact, all of Christianity, East or West, comes on this idea of martyrdom. You give up your life for Jesus. And the real challenge is, how about living our life for Jesus? How about the next step, right? Not just dying for Jesus, but living for Jesus. Is that possible to do? And so we have this question right now. He who denies me in front of others, I will also deny in front of my Heavenly Father. Now, when we hear this, we think of some future time, right? That perhaps our lives are going to be given up as a test. And so you have this entire sequence of events that take place during your life. And then at some future time, you will be standing in front of the eternal judge, who will judge you based on what you did, the merits, the good things that you did, the bad things that you did, your willingness to forgive others, your opportunity to be forgiven. Did you take that advantage of that? And so on and so on. So we think about this judgment day. And during the judgment day, this question comes into play. He who acknowledged me in front of others will be acknowledged in front of my Heavenly Father. So at that point, Jesus comes in and says, okay, this person acknowledged me, and so therefore, Father, I acknowledge him or her. And there will be an opportunity for the deniers too. And then Jesus will say, this person denied me in front of others, and therefore, Father, I'm denying him or her in front of you. So this imagery is there. It comes to us right from this gospel passage. But the imagery of final judgment does not. What do I mean by that? Well, it means the context in which we understand these things. A lot of times we read the Bible out of context. And here's, I'm gonna throw this out. I want you to listen to this. Because when I talk about Armadoxy, I'm going back. I would venture to say that most of the time we read it out of context, and here's why. I'm not just throwing this out. Jesus' ministry began at his baptism, and we can gauge based on the number of times he returns to Jerusalem for the festival days, and the common scholarship tells us that his ministry was roughly about 3 years. This is based on the Passovers, how many times he went back. So there's this 3-year period, basically 1,000 days in which on earth he celebrated his ministry. Now, where is that recorded? Where are those 1,000 days recorded? Okay, you've got the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. You've got the Gospel of John, right? A little bit different. Different perspective, different way of approach, right? Okay, you've got that. You've got the writings of St. Paul and some of the apostles later in the New Testament, right? Offered maybe 20, 30, 40 years later. You've got some apocryphal writings, some quasi-apocryphal. You've got oral church traditions that were later written down, church leaders, but that's basically it. You don't have some kind of video digest of Jesus's life. Wouldn't that be great if you had the 3 years recorded? So now you know in what context he said that. Was he talking about some future time when he said this? Was he talking about today? Right? Now you get what I'm saying. It's in the context. This is not about checking out historical accuracy and things like that. It's not like I'm saying get a video camera and let's see, did he really make the fish and loaves last for 20,000 people, 5,000 men, and the women and the children? Did he really do that? Did he really walk on water, or were there rocks under the surface of the water? You know, I'm not interested in that historic accuracy. What I'm interested is in what context did he say this? And when you look at this particular passage, this is the one that has spoken to me this last few days. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. How simple is that? Have you ever thought about this could be something about today? And not necessarily about some future event, some future judgment. And the way I thought about this was exactly in these terms. Somebody the other day came up to me and said, you know, what you're presenting is very radical. It's very different. And I went ahead and I said that, you know, well, it's not as radical as what Jesus had presented And when Jesus said, love your enemies, that is incredibly radical, revolutionary. In fact, so radical and revolutionary that they put him up on a cross. And from that cross, he became the example for his teaching by saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Complete forgiveness, complete love towards his creation. Okay? So I said, what I'm saying is not radical. And he says, and this person turned to me and said, well, you know what you're saying is I can't go that next distance and say that I'm with you because there's people who won't get it. And I'm scared. I'm scared of what they may think about me, basically. Okay, and I thought about that for a moment. That's interesting. Now, without any judgment, right? You're free to believe it, you're free not to believe it. But as far as disowning me, denying me, or acknowledging me, right? Then I would basically on the other side say that, okay, and I don't need to acknowledge you before anything. Like, in other words, if somebody said, is this person part of your group? No, not part of it. That's all. It's not a bad thing. You're free to believe what you want. You're just not part of it. Do you ever think that that's maybe what Jesus meant at this point? That his teaching was so radical, so revolutionary, that he said, hey, if you acknowledge me and you acknowledge this teaching, then I will acknowledge you before God. That's all. Before my Heavenly Father. And if you don't, that's fine, I'll deny you. Because you're not part of this group. You're not part of this teaching. You're not part of this kingdom. I mean, think about it for a moment. It's not about some future event. And that's why I'm saying, if you had some kind of video recording of to put it in context, was Jesus talking about some future event? Because when you have that 1,000 days of his ministry and you put it all together, there are so many little parts that we weren't privy to. What did he do when after he walked on the water, after he extended his hand to Peter and said, here, come, take my hand, let's walk. I mean, what happened after that? The next thing we see in the gospel narratives is, okay, they're on shore. Hey, there was a conversation that took place on the boat, right? Don't you think that there was a conversation on the boat? Like, wow, that's incredible. How did you do that? Wow, show me how to do it. Tell me your secret. I mean, there's no, that conversation isn't recorded in any of the things. This guy at the pool, 38 years, he's been lying there, paraplegic, quadriplegic. He cannot move. And he sees Jesus. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Yes, I do. But there's nobody to put me in the pool because this is the rule. This is the rule. When the waters get stirred, somebody needs to go into the pool. Jesus says, okay, get up and walk. Now, 38 years this guy has been lying there. 38 years people have seen him there. This happens, right? And the only thing the gospel narrative tells us, this is Gospel of John chapter 5. The only thing the Gospel of John tells us is that after this happened, the Jews were upset because Jesus had performed this miracle on the Sabbath. And so they plotted against him because he was doing this on the Sabbath. Now, wait a minute. What about the other conversations that we're not privy to? People just being flabbergasted, in awe, seeing this guy that they've seen for 38 years near the pool all of a sudden walking. What about the medical community? Aren't they around? Do we know what they were talking about? Surely they must have been talking. What about the followers of Jesus? What about his detractors? We're not privy to all those conversations. Nor will we ever know those conversations. So we don't know in what context this was, right? Is this an isolated experience? Was the guy just kind of like hanging out over there? What was his story? What did he do afterwards? Okay, this happens to him. Now, 38 years after, he doesn't have a job, doesn't have a family. What happened to him? Did he commit suicide the next day? Did he have a family life after that? Was he accepted by his relatives, who were perhaps strict Jewish traditionalists and didn't want to go the way of Jesus, and they saw Jesus cure him? See, what I'm getting at is not to distort your faith. It's just to say that the story is a bigger story than what we have. And so when a lot of times when people say, well, the gospel says this, the Bible says this, don't forget, the story of Jesus is much bigger than that. And I'm sharing with you one example that came to my head. Jesus denying us or accepting us in front of his Father. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a judgment call. It doesn't mean that he's going to say, okay, now you got to go to hell because you didn't accept me. But it does mean that you're not part of his group. And that's sometimes good, sometimes bad. Well, I'll tell you when it's good, okay? When it comes with freedom. And I want you to follow me on this. Yesterday, we saw a movie called The Post. Steven Spielberg, it's a new one. We went and saw it. I highly, highly recommend it. It probably spoke to us a little bit more because we kind of lived through that. It takes place in 1971. It takes place at the height of the Vietnam War, when certain papers were revealed, were exposed, and Robert McNamara, who we used to hear all the time on the news, was exposed of knowing what was going on in Vietnam. And so basically him knowing the stuff, knowing what was happening, and then putting children in harm's way made him a true villain, a true evil spirit, yes. So the movie spoke to me on many levels, but the one place that it really spoke to me was about this idea of First Amendment rights. And let me just briefly go through this for all of our listeners who are not part of the American experience, the United States experience, more accurately. We have an amendment built into our Constitution. It's called the Bill of Rights. It's the first one, which specifically says, let me read it. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Why did that speak to me? Can you figure it out? I mean, this is really what makes this country relevant. That freedom, that opportunity to exchange ideas. And when that isn't there, and you can figure out where it's not, when that's not there, when that freedom isn't there, you have the tyrannies that you have these horrendous systems that evolve because there's no check and balance on it. When you have a free country, it's predicated on this freedom of expression, right? You need to be able to express yourself. I know. You're looking at me because you've read in some Sunday school class that the Armenian church is the most democratic church there is. Because yes, technically, when you look at the Constitution, it does sound like a democracy. You have the checks and balances. You have the clergy and you have the laity. And this is really what one of the beautiful parts that I find. In theory, it's there. Yeah, you have the clergy and then you have a lay group. Whether it's the Catholicos, against it is the National Assembly. You have the primate, the bishop, against it is the diocesan assembly, made up of lay leaders and clergy. You have the priest on the local level, parish priest, against it is a parish assembly, the membership that actually is the check and balance. But there has to be a free flowing of information. And when that information isn't there, you lose not only that freedom, but here it is, you lose that relevancy. Because it's no longer relevant. Like any institution that is irrelevant, it means whether that institution exists or doesn't exist, it doesn't matter. How sad. How sad. An institution exists or doesn't exist, it doesn't matter. The store on the corner, right? Whether it's there or not, it doesn't matter, except to the people that are inside of it. And so too, with the church. What we try to do here as the next step, what is that next step? Is to be able to talk, is to be able to engage in dialogue. Look, in a couple of weeks, I'm holding this conference called Reclaim. It actually means to reclaim the church, to get back to what it really means. And I brought together, like I did last year, bring together some people that will stimulate discussion, that will allow people to start talking, to sharing ideas. How important is that? The ability to share ideas. That's what it's about. And you cannot believe what kind of obstacles we're up against. And here's the secret. The obstacles are not by the hierarchy, but by the people themselves. People who are scared. You know, my faith is so weak that if somebody challenges me to think, I may lose my faith. That's what really it comes down to. Believe it or not, that's what it comes down to. Isn't your faith strong enough to withstand a little bit of discussion, dialogue? And maybe in that dialogue, you can grow. Maybe it becomes that Lenten journey that I was talking about earlier. That becomes a different Lenten journey for you now. And that's what it's all about. That's what it is all about. To be able to engage in that dialogue. Listen, I saw this movie last night. It's called The Post. I highly recommend it. Take a look at it. Because if you're like me, you're concerned about the church. And you're concerned about this institution that Jesus Christ said is his body. And that body of believers are commissioned to do his work, namely to bring peace on earth, namely to reach out to this hurting world. And so you have these tragedies which come up, such as what happened in Florida yesterday. You have children who are scared, who should be enjoying their life. Instead, they're scared that what if they go to school and today they are the target of gunmen. And we are answering them with politics. We are answering them with evil. We are answering them with more might rather than answering them with the power of Christ. And the church should be the first person out there talking about this. Instead, you don't hear anything. You can hear a pin drop sometimes. Because we're scared to engage in that dialogue. Because what happens if we reclaim the Christian narrative? What happens if we go back to what Christ was telling us? What happens? Well, there's a lot of uncomfort. He is a revolutionary. He is somebody who gave us a brand new way of looking at it. And so if you acknowledge him, yes, he will acknowledge you in front of his Father. Because he acknowledges you as a member of the church, as the member of his community, as the member of his body. But it requires us to take that first step, to say, yes, this radical idea is something that is necessary for me. And the minute you say that, what happens? His message, his church, has now become relevant. Because I cannot live without it. You see, up until now, we can all give or lose it, doesn't matter. Give or take it, doesn't really matter. We're the same. But now, if we dare to say that we can lose it, it will matter. It will matter because the stability of our lives, because the opportunity for peace and everlasting peace is gone. Now, that's something that is relevant in my life. That's something that is worth fighting for. That's something worth having a dialogue for. That's worth putting ourselves out for. That was an inspiration that I got from this movie, The Post. Yeah, you can look at it as an opportunity that took place in 1971. It's a historical reality. You could applaud it. Or you can look at it as perhaps an opportunity for you to engage in what is important, is what is relevant in your life. What is it that you can't just brush aside because it actually makes you tick? You see, once we find that, then that kind of thing is worth the living for. That kind of thing gives you purpose in your life. The raison d'être, right? There it is. And that should be the church. Because it's divine. Because it is beyond you. Because it has all the essentials, all the tools that connect everything together. We've just cluttered it up with a lot of garbage. And that garbage is what makes it irrelevant, because people don't want to deal with it. We don't have time to deal with garbage. I don't blame you. Clear it up. Look at the essence. Look at Armadoxy. Go down to the basics of what it's all about. And so what a beautiful message for Lent, right? Isn't that what Lent is about? To strip away the excesses and get down to the basics. But in this case, we're looking for that purpose, that essential purpose in our lives, and it's there. How about that for a Lenten practice, a Lenten journey this year? Well, I throw it out there for you. All right, let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and I am back with you just to share some final parting shots. I want to tell you, we have a conference coming up. It's called Reclaim. It's embracing your faith in a changing world. This year, we're looking at creativity, what inspires us. I've got some great, great talent that are going to be showing up at this event, and I cannot impress upon you enough that if you find a way to get out here, do it, okay? It's in Burbank. Don't put it off. Do it. You know, you find all kinds of reasons to put things off. You will regret it. This is one of those things, yeah. It's in Burbank. It is a 3-day conference. Starts on Friday evening. We celebrate the Divine Liturgy on the last day. The middle of it is filled with all kinds of speeches, all kinds of activities that will really, it's more than just warming your spirit. It activates the spirit. It's like taking a jump start. So highly recommend it. Please be with us. Check out embracing-faith.com. All kinds of information, including scholarships. Okay, with that, let's see, all the usual stuff. We are in the middle of Lent. We started it last week. We're getting on Expulsion Sunday this Sunday. Our Bible studies continue in Glendale. They are being recorded. They are not being released right now. We do have some issues, and we're working on them. We're trying to get through them. We had some changes over of websites, of servers, of domains, and those are all kind of technical things. On one end, on the more practical end, It's a question of the distribution being the most effective. We're looking into it's a utilitarian little exercise. What's the most effective way of getting it out to the greatest number of people? So we're working on it. Do not be discouraged. Cannot thank you enough for all the wonderful comments, the thoughts you share with us. And trust me, every one of them is so well received. Your support, not only financially, but morally, your prayers, your talks, your comments to us, just they go a long way. They encourage us to new levels. So thank you very much, and God bless you all for all that you do for this ministry. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. You can connect with us at all the usual places, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course at the mothership inissues.org, which is back up and running. If you got an email from us a couple days ago listing three or four different episodes of The Next Step, well, that's because it's back up and running. Yeah, we were down for a couple weeks. But the WordPress miracle worker, Susie, fingers running on those keyboards day and night, got us fixed up and we're up and running. Anyway, do check it out, inissues.org, and there'll be some revamps on there as well. Check out our series, The Lenten Journey. We make sure that everything we talked about today will have a link on our show notes. So on behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Ken, our engineer, Susie, our producer, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with The Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, The Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Limits.